Welcome to Heart Yoga Radio.
I was asked recently if I thought that belief systems were implicated in human destructivity. The rough answer to that is, well, yes. However, a more nuanced account can be given.
Morning.
And in giving a more nuanced account, I believe that we can elucidate the ways in which belief is in fact implicated in human destructivity. We can do it with a certain amount of detail. So at the outset, I'm wanting to say that there is a difference between belief systems and belief structures. And there might be something about belief systems which makes them essential in some way. But I don't think there's anything to be said for belief structures. Okay, what's the difference? First of all, let's explicate belief, and then we'll take a look at structure and system. Belief, as a word, in its usage, is a knowledge word. And I say this because we can meaningfully draw a distinction between belief and certainty. And between a connection between belief and doubt. And a connection between belief and complete uncertainty. So what's going on when we say, I know, and what's going on when we say, I believe? And what is the distinction? Why do we have to have these two words? And how is certainty and belief different? When you say, I believe that X is the case, you are actually saying that there is room for doubt, that the proposition X is the case, it's not settled, it's not proven. There is some doubt hangs over its truth, its veracity. But when you say, I believe, you say that you yourself are willing to take it, that the proposition X is true. You're prepared to gamble on its truth. You think that the probability is that when the evidence comes in and when the analysis of the argument comes in, that X will in fact be the case. And that's belief. There's a commitment on the part of the believer to the high likelihood that a certain proposition or set of propositions is true. At the same time, doubt is held in the picture. Otherwise, you would say, I know. When there's no doubt, you say, I am certain. I know. So we need to bear that in mind about belief. It exists as a term to do the linguistic work of signalling when we have a commitment to a proposition, yet without that proposition being completely settled as to its veracity. Now, in the matter of faith, faith is belief in a whole set of propositions or statements that appear like propositions. And usually those propositions in a faith system are entangled with each other, and they work together. And one of the ways in which people become convinced of a faith system of ideas, system of beliefs, one of the things that's very often convincing for people is the way it all fits together. And this is where we get the word system, this notion of all the concepts fitting together that form the elements of the faith. Actually, things fitting together isn't really that strong a reason for believing stuff. When Lord of the Rings fits together, it has a coherence. But hobbits do not exist, at least not on planet Earth. I think we can, with about a 99.999 assurance, we can assert that. Now, actually, the thing about faith is that it's always conservative. It isn't open for revision. Revisions do happen to faith. To faiths, but slowly or with resistance. If changes happen and they're revolutionary, there's resistance. Sometimes there's actually war over items of doctrine. Europe has been plagued with these things over the last couple of thousand years. So there's something conservative about faith, and I prefer for that reason to talk more about faith structures than faith systems. Faiths are structures of belief in which a number of beliefs interlock in a coherent fashion so as to be convincing. Also, we need to remember that faith is institutional, usually, and strives to become institutional and implicated with government structures and dominant structures within particular societies. So a faith can become the official faith. Christianity was the official faith of the late Roman Empire. Islam is the official faith of Iran. And this means that resources and time is given over to the training of functionaries of the faith, and also to the education and indoctrination of children into the faith. And it's particularly when this occurs that you do get the conservative element of faith. And what happens there, of course, is that a belief, if we take one of the elemental beliefs of a faith, I don't know, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that elemental belief is placed beyond doubt. One isn't allowed to question it. The penalty for questioning dogmas, which are beliefs which are held to be inviolably true, is very often excommunication, torture and death. And this is how kind of deeply enmeshed this stuff gets with power dynamics and dominance, the whole human pattern of dominance within societies. So faith actually entails doing a violence to belief, because a belief, to be a belief rather than a certainty, has got doubt embedded in it. But faith denies that aspect of belief. It treats propositions which should be regarded as revisable in the light of evidence, in the light of better argument, as though they were certainties. And this is what causes me to say, somewhat brashly and somewhat crudely, that all faith is bad faith. Because it asks you to be certain about which you can only offer belief, with its kernel of doubt within it. Now this is why I think that belief structures are a much nastier kettle of smelly fish than belief systems. Because system is a word that implies movement, whereas structure is a word that implies stasis. The conservative and violent aspects of faith are actually the direct result of belief structures. In other words, fossilised collections of concepts and ideas and propositions which work together in a fairly coherent kind of way, but which are deemed irrevisable. A system, a belief system, on the other hand, is revisable. The concepts are in a dynamic relationship to each other, rather than a static, fixed and enforced relationship to each other. And it's belief systems, actually, which keep us operating. I mean, a human being goes about his or her business in the world with the help of a belief system, which we call common sense. We know that if we jump off the bridge, we'll probably break our legs and perhaps even die. Yet, as Hume pointed out, you know, that one day someone may jump off a bridge and not go down, but go up. It's extremely unlikely, and I wouldn't bet any money on it. But the problem of induction is such that the certainty we have about regularities in the behaviour of objects in the world is a habit of thought. It can only be grounded on the fact that this is how it's been for a long time. This is how a particular state of affairs has repeated itself, the regularity of existence that enables scientific laws to be formulated. But the whole thing is it's not grounded on anything other than the habit of expecting regularities in the pattern of events. And it's called the problem of induction. I don't know if this was Einstein or Newton came up with this, but both were intensely aware of it. And it's this, that a single experiment could prove Newton wrong, one experiment. But no amount of experimentation can prove him absolutely right. Yeah, and this is Hume's conundrum around induction in a nutshell. So we do actually, as human beings in our ordinary going about stuff, operate with belief system. But we operate with belief systems which are revisable. And it's just the pragmatic application of the common sense belief system that makes it revisable. Belief structures, which are to do with faith and social organisation and the education of children, their indoctrination into a tribe or a nation, that isn't revisable. Hence the papal index. You know, the Vatican tells good Catholics what they can read and what they can't read. And some books are placed on the index, and there's a committee which reads books and decides whether they can have the Pope's stamp in the front, the imprimatur, or not. So that Catholics know where they can take their inquiry and where they can't take their inquiry. And I think this illustrates perfectly the rigidity of a belief structure. And it's that rigidity which, of course, is intrinsically violent right from the outset. Because it's telling individuals that there are places in their explorations of the world and of thought and of ideas and of themselves which are off limits, which are beyond the pale, which are verboten. And this is the church attempting to exert power on its own behalf, actually. So, belief systems and belief structures, rather different. And I think I'm wanting to implicate structures in some of the idiotic conflicts that are fueled by religion or justified by it, and perhaps even sometimes caused by it. Okay, I'm going to pause now and perhaps we'll do some more this afternoon. Welcome back to the Heart Yoga Radio discussion on belief, system and structure. I'm just going to summarise really what I came to in the first part. Apologies, by the way, for the extraneous noise. Okay, what I did was I distinguished between belief systems and belief structures. I thought that belief systems were living pieces of conceptual apparatus which are actually pretty useful to human beings. We do actually operate with presuppositions which are rather more a matter of belief than a matter of certainty. Nevertheless, it works for us. And the thing about systems is that they are open to revision. The word system connotes the possibility of change and of movement. It's a movement word. Whereas a belief structure is more dogmatic, it's fixed, it's inflexible. And these are very often employed for conservative, politically conservative and socially conservative purposes by institutions which are operating with faith. And I'm claiming that rigidity does involve a violence on the part of institutions and society at large towards individuals, in as much as it prevents them from doing their own self-exploration with a completeness. Because any faith system pretends that there is no doubt when in fact there is doubt. They pretend they're dealing with certainties when in fact they're dealing with beliefs. And it's that pretense, that falsehood at the core of institutional faith, which gives rise to its violence, and it's a violence against the intrinsic freedom of the human individual. So I have to say for myself, as somebody who practices meditation, that I don't like belief structures, belief systems, in as much as they're pragmatic. In other words, our common sense, even though it can't be grounded in certainties, it's fine by me, and we should celebrate it to the extent that it works for us. And when it doesn't work, we should revise it. And in fact, it should always be open to revision. Okay, so that's what I got to say on that small topic. And please take a look at the PeteYates.podbean.com radio station. There's quite a lot of stuff there now, and we're going to keep adding to it. And please sponsor us a small amount. It means we can do this thing, and it'll liberate a bit of time and space for us to put hundreds more scintillating and stimulating podcasts your way. Over and out, friends.